Morning, everybody. Thank you, Janice, again. Wow, those are beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. It's great to see you. I'm glad you're here and glad you've come to worship today. Listen, I might as well get this out of the way now because if I don't, y'all are going to want to ask me later, and I'll just tell you all at once. Everybody's asking me about what happened to my eye. So I told Justin this morning I'd be a great example for what it means to listen to your wife. When she tells you to roll over in the middle of the night, go ahead and do that. I'm kidding. She didn't really whack me one hit, but no. I don't know. It just happened. So it's not sore. It just looks funny. So I don't know. It's just weird. But yeah, we're glad to have you here, especially if you're a guest or a visitor today. Thanks for being here. I hope you filled out the attendance pad already and we'll come back and share life with us some more. We just love, you know, new people coming and sharing life with us and learning that this is a great place to be as we worship God together. So how many of you like board games or cards? Yeah? Well, good. Saturday night, you're going to want to be here. Saturday from 6 to 9, we're going to teach you how to play up and down the ladder. Anybody ever play that? Oh, listen, the Withrow gang, man, I'm telling you what, they have caught on to this game and they love it. You play with rook cards, but we don't play rook. You play up and down the ladder. So it's going to be great. Hope you can come. It's going to be a great time. Bring your four favorite board game. Bring a snack to share. It's going to be a blast. We're just going to hang out together for a few hours on Saturday night and play some games. So this coming Saturday. I want to tell you a little bit about Wednesday nights. Fuel starts this coming Wednesday. Since we didn't get to have kickoff last week, I'm going to tell you just a little bit about the classes that are coming, the classes that we're going to have for adults. By the way, the students and the children will all have their own programming. So that's going to happen on Wednesdays. The meal starts at 5:15. Programming studies start at 6. So the first one is James, Max Lucado's study on James. We're actually going to be, it's not going to parallel the message series that we're in. But it's a study that's about the book of James. If you'd like to be a part of that, Mel and I are teaching that one. A study on the book of Philippians. Pastor Owen is doing that one. And so if you'd like to be part of that, that's going to be offered also on Wednesday. This one's called, this is by David Jeremiah, as you see, Agents of the Apocalypse. It's a study on the book of Revelation. But Bob Fishback, who's leading this class, told me that it was probably the most easily readable and easily understood book that he's ever read about the book of Revelation. And he's leading that class on Wednesday night. And then the last class is Getting Real with God. It's actually a book that Marcy Bancroft wrote, and she's teaching that. So we're excited about that. And those sign-ups for the classes are out on the Welcome Center. So I hope you'll jump in and I hope you can be part of them, because what we're going to do on Wednesdays is going to be a great thing, and just learning together, sharing life together, hanging out and eating together. It's going to be great. Following the studies is choir practice and then the band practices. So it's just a really cool evening on Wednesdays, and hope you can be part of that as we go these next 8 weeks before spring break. We're going to jump into a new series starting today on the book of James, real faith in real life. What that looks like, what it means, how it affects you and me as we live life. Now, here's the thing. I want to say this and make sure we all just understand this. James doesn't mess around when it comes to following Jesus. And if you've read James before, if you know anything about the letter that James wrote, man, it is a powerful letter that really kind of puts it right in our face that living for Jesus is a real deal. And there's no messing around. There's no easy believism here. This is about where our faith, where the rubber hits the road. When life comes at us, we got to know how to defend that. We got to know how to figure it out. We got to know which way to go and how to live in such a way that our faith is exhibited for the world to see. And James talks about all that in his letter. So I hope that I hope that in the coming weeks that you'll spend some time in the letter to James. That you'll read a chapter a day in preparation for coming to be a part of worship. Just kind of getting a well-rounded look at what James is saying and what he's trying to talk about here. I will say this. James will not allow you and I to settle for easy believism. I'm telling you, this letter is going to be in our face, and it's going to challenge us. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be important. It's going to be practical in what it says and how it says to live life. Sometimes. What James talks about is how to live life even in our most darkest moments. In those moments when life is really hard. And he's going to talk about that. And so I really hope that you'll be part of that. What I don't want you to do is get uneasy right off the bat when you start reading and say, wait a minute, what is James talking about here? So I want you to grab your bulletin, or if you have your Bible, that's cool too. Or if you have your phone app, or if you have an iPad, or whatever you have, and maybe over the next several weeks you want to actually bring your Bible so you can have it in front of you and take a look at it. But for this morning, at least grab your bulletins and look at that scripture passage there from James chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. I want to read the first verse because I want to put our minds at ease right off the bat. Because when you read this, it says, this letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Now, when you read that, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. He's writing to Jewish believers. What's that have to do with me? I'm not of Jewish heritage. What does this letter then have to do with anything with me? Well, here's the cool thing. This letter to James was also known as a general epistle. In other words, it was written not to a specific church like Ephesians, written to the church of Ephesus, or Colossians, written to the church of Colossae. This was written to a general group of Christians, Jew and Gentile, us and those of Jewish heritage. There's no question, as you take a look at this letter and read it over and over and over, it's clear that James is writing words that will and that do apply to all persons who follow Jesus. You know, in 1789, Ben Franklin wrote, in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. How many of you heard that before? Death and taxes, two certainties in life. One's coming up, right? A couple months from now, we got to pay our taxes, right? Tax day. Yeah, well, and then the second thing is the other one. You know, death is certain as well. For every person that's living, dying is going to happen. You know, we don't know, we don't have a timetable for that. We don't know when that's going to happen, but death is coming. And it's happened. The statistics for death are 100%. Except for two guys in the Old Testament. Enoch and Elijah, they just kind of went to be with God. Cool thing happened to both those guys. But for the rest of us, you know, death and taxes, that's pretty certain. Now what Ben Franklin didn't tell us, that there's a third certainty in life. And that's where James comes in. James talks about it in this first chapter of his letter. He faces it head on. He says, look, in life, here's the third certainty. You need to know this. There are going to be troubles, there are going to be tests, and there are going to be challenges for every one of us. It's going to happen. So this morning, what I want us to do is take a few minutes and look at some of the principles that are necessary for us to navigate through those certainties. in our lives, to navigate our way through the troubles and the tests and the challenges, so that we can truly end up having real faith in real life. The first principle that James talks about in this letter is that you and I, as God's people, need to learn to look at life from different perspectives, from a different angle, from a different place. We need to look at the struggles, the tests, the challenges, the troubles from a different perspective. You see, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, do you notice what he says there? Did you catch it? Dear brothers and sisters, what's that next word? Oh, so he didn't say if. If troubles come your way? He didn't say that, right? When? What's that mean? That means that troubles are coming. Whether we like it or not, whether we're prepared for it or not, whether we think it ought to be or not, when troubles come your way, tests or challenges come at you from all sides, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That's a pretty different perspective. A sheer gift. For you know that when your faith is tested, or it's under pressure, your endurance, your faith life, has a chance to grow and show its true colors. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. When your endurance, he means when you've grown up, when your maturity is where it needs to be as a follower of Jesus. A few years ago, Diana and I were traveling, and we traveled to Yellowstone National Park. And in Yellowstone, there's this really cool place called the Great Prism Spring. Really cool. And this is taken from the walkway where you kind of walk around and you see this, and you're like, wow, that's awesome. I mean, it's just a pretty amazing thing. But look at this from a different perspective. Isn't that cool? That's from way up in the air, and you can see the walkway over there on the top of the picture. Amazing difference in perspective. Seeing it from ground level and looking at it one direction, and seeing it from up in the air, looking at a completely different perspective. How something appears is always a matter of perspective. And so when James is saying, look, we need to figure this thing out. We need to figure out that we can look at life. We can look at the tests. We can look at the challenges. We can look at life's struggles. We can look at those hard times. We need to do that from a different perspective, because it's not always what we see on the surface. Perspective makes all the difference in the world. And when James says when those struggles come, they're going to happen in our lives. They're going to come in your life. They're going to come in my life. They're going to come in our lives. And you know as well as I do, when those things happen to us, when we struggle through whatever it might be, and, you know, we could rattle off a list of 100 things that we struggle with, right? Things, you know, health issues, all these things, right? But listen, what we know is that when we're facing those things, they suck the life right out of us. And most professional counselors probably would tell us that depression and discouragement are a byproduct of the struggles that we face in life. But listen, here's what James says. How about if we look at these struggles, these tests, these challenges, and these troubles from a different perspective? James says to consider them to be an opportunity for great joy. Look at them from a different vantage point. Look at them as an opportunity to help us grow up in our spiritual maturity. Now, our first reaction to that is, seriously? I don't know, maybe that's just me that reacts that way. But I read these words, and I've read them before many times. And I'm like, consider it joy, really? So I'm supposed to look at life's issues, life's struggles, life troubles, life challenges, and say, oh, that's an opportunity to have joy. Really? Okay, well. And that sounds really good until it's our challenges and our struggles that we're facing. But the word that James uses here, he says, consider. Consider these tests and troubles and trials and challenges. Consider them to be an opportunity for joy. And the word consider, he means to give thought to not make a hasty decision about something, to be deliberate before we pass judgment. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that that's easy to do. I'm not about to stand here and say, look, when we're facing challenges, when we're facing struggles in our life, when there's hard times and it's a mess, I'm not going to tell you that it's easy to just step back and say, okay, I'm going to consider this and figure it out. How can this be an opportunity for great joy? But listen, here's what I do know, that when trials and troubles and tests and challenges come our way, they reveal the faith that is deep within us. They reveal the faith that is deep within us. They allow our faith and our character to be evident, first of all, to ourselves, and then to those who are around us. That's hard. But what James is saying is, man, it's so necessary just to step back and look at what's going on in our life from a different perspective and see if we can find joy. See if we can find that opportunity to see joy within the midst of that. Now, here's why that's so hard. Because we live in a culture that has put joy and happiness in the same sentence. That joy and happiness exist together. That how we feel and how we react to certain things depends on what happens to us. But see, the biblical definition of joy is a gift from God. You see the difference in that? Happiness is about how we feel about a certain thing. We might feel horrible about the test we're going through. We might feel like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Can you pile anything else on? We might not be able to, the happiness level might be down here somewhere. And what James is saying is, look, step back from that, look at it from a different perspective, and find joy. Because joy is not the same as happiness. Joy is a gift from God. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit living in us to help us get through whatever that trouble and trial and test and challenge might be. I love Chuck Swindoll's quote. Chuck Swindoll had, attitude is everything. Life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. What if we can live in that 90% and consider it joy when we're faced with struggles and trials and trouble and challenge? We just need to look at things from a different perspective. The second principle that James talks about here is found in those next few verses, verses 5 through 8. And basically he's saying, look, just boldly ask God. If you need wisdom, I mean, you know, listen, when we're struggling with life, man, who doesn't want to know why? How many times do you ask that question? And maybe you don't ever ask that question. I do. When I'm going through struggles, when I'm going through troubles, or I'm going through trials, when things are not going the way I want them to, I'm like, God, hello? Are you even paying attention here? Listen, if you need wisdom, boldly ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. That, my friends, is great news. That is great news. That when we're struggling with life, when the tests are there, when the challenges are in front of us, when life is coming at us fast, that James says, look, when that's happening, boldly ask God to help you see it from His side. Boldly ask. And here's the cool thing. Ask our generous God. He will give it to you. He'll give you wisdom. He will not rebuke you for asking. That may be the best news ever. Because listen, when I say, God, hello, are you paying attention to me? He's not up there saying, look, you tell me that one more time and I'm not going to pay attention to you anymore. God doesn't do that to us. God does not rebuke us for asking. He says, you come and you boldly ask me. You need wisdom? Come on. Bring it. I got you. I got you covered. When you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. And you know, I look at those words, I read those words, I'm like, James, seriously, dude. How many of us can really do life and never be rocked by the winds of trouble? James, come on, man. How many of us can ever live life and not be challenged in what we're trying to do, where we're trying to go, who we're trying to be? How many of us can really live life and not be faced with doubt and fear? I mean, think about people within our own church family who've been faced with and are faced with today troubles and tests and challenges and trials. More than we want to talk about. And here's the thing. And maybe this doesn't happen to you, but I'm going to be pretty transparent. Listen, oftentimes when I'm faced with a trial or a struggle or a challenge or something or other, here's what I do. I wonder how I can get through this. No, did you hear what I just said? I wonder how I can get through this. Did you catch that? That's what a lot of us do. I don't know if we're honest with ourselves. How can I get through this? How can I figure it out to get from where I am in life to get where I want to be in life? How can I do that? That or we go to people who don't even have a biblical worldview and they tell us some crazy thing. And what James means here is, look, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. If you need wisdom, ask Him. He means don't ever, ever, ever forget your foundation. Foundation is not in me. Foundation is not in some other person. Not in some book that's on my shelf somewhere. not something I read somewhere along the way or what someone has told me. My foundation is in God alone. Trust in our generous God. And when he says generous God, he means generous in love, in grace, in mercy, in compassion, in understanding, in peace. And I don't know how many times I've said this, but listen, when life comes at you fast, and it's going to, don't just hang in there. Stand firm on the one who is our foundation. Somebody said, when life knocks you to your knees, that's a great place to start praying. And I think that's so good. That's so true. I wonder, in the coming days, in the coming weeks, when life knocks us down, when life blows us over, what if our first response would be, you know what, I think I'm going to ask my generous God what he thinks. I'm going to see what my generous God recommends that I say or recommends that I do. The third principle is found in verse 12. And I'm not dismissing verses 9 to 11. They're important. But I want us to lock on to verse 12. Verse 12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. There's a lot wrapped up in that one verse. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they receive the crown of life. And in the message, those are the words in the italics there in your bulletin. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. Listen. What James is trying to say here, what James wants us to hear, is that, yeah, you know what? Testing and trials and trouble and challenges are going to come our way. But we need to look for the reward. And the reward is not here on earth. The reward is not here on earth. You know, when James wrote those words, he threw out that word, the crown of life. Immediately when they read that word crown, they would think of, the people who read this would think, oh, he's talking about the crown that the winners get. You know, tonight, I guess there's a football game on, right? Yeah. So I heard there was a game on, I wasn't sure. But the winners of that game are going to get the Lombardi trophy. Right? They're going to pass it around. They're all going to kiss it. Spread all those germs all over the place. It's going to be nasty. But they're going to receive the prize. And when James says, look, there's a prize that's waiting for you and me as followers of Jesus like we've never experienced before. It's out of this world. He means it. There's a prize that awaits all of us. It's the crown of life. It's not some big shiny gold crown. Not some trophy that you get and put in a trophy case. It's the crown of life. The crown of eternal life. It's a reward to come. And when we recognize the fact that, whoa, okay, sometimes we'll go through these tests and trials and troubles and challenges, and look, we need to remember that it's about the reward that's waiting on you and me for all of eternity. Listen, the fact of the matter is that it could be this week, it could be the next few weeks, it could be next year, it could be the next 5 years, but somewhere along the way, we're going to have one of those moments where the rubber hits the road when it comes to our faith. And James is like, look, I'm trying to help you prepare for this. I want you to know it's coming. I want you to know that you can have real faith in real life. This morning, maybe... Hello. I hear it. Don't everybody grab for it. I'll see you. No. That was last week, by the way. That was last week's sermon. Important or urgent. You need to go back and listen to that one. I'm just saying. No, listen. So maybe today, you and I just need to name the challenge. Name the trial. Name the trouble. Name the test. Just need to name it. You know, I was talking to Jake earlier, and I said, Jake, you know, the first step in Celebrate Recovery, the first step on someone that's addicted is to admit they have an issue and to name it. Maybe there's a test going on in your life right now. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe there's a challenge that you like feel like it's insurmountable. You just need to name it. Write it down somewhere. Maybe it was important for someone here this morning to know that there's a reward that's waiting on us. A reward that's on the other side of this life. Maybe today we just need to be reminded that sometimes we got to look at life from a different perspective. Maybe we just needed to get to that place where we figured out that we can boldly ask God when we're struggling. Maybe as we're here in these next few moments, Maybe the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to us about something. Whatever it is in your life, what it might be in mine, and figure out how we can have real faith in real life. So I want us to take a few minutes and just be quiet and listen and figure out how we can make this real faith work today. Let's pray together.